This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Zero Dog Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Brian Windhorst in about a half an hour. Ray will join us in about 5 minutes. Thursday night or tonight, Carolina at home against Atlanta. Big games this weekend, though. Big games this weekend. The Bills at home against the New England Patriots. Must win for Buffalo. Pats have been rolling in there for 20 years and stealing wins off them or laying beatings on them. And the Pats have lost a couple in a row.
They've lost three in a row, haven't they?
Three in a row, I believe. You're right. Yeah, they were.
I think Cam Newton's got something to prove here, too. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder where they had to ask Belichick if he was starting. Like, Belichick actually had to give him a vote of confidence because Newton was so bad. He's been bad the last couple games, really. Mm-hmm. So that's tough. Like, when you're still trying to establish yourself with your new general manager, your new coach, and the coach has to come out this early in the season and go, yeah, he's still my guy.
Buffalo better figure him out, though. Like, Buffalo has been – they lost two in a row as well, and decisively against Tennessee and Kansas City. They barely got by the New York Jets.
Like, I don't think they scored a touchdown.
They didn't, no. They kicked six field goals. They won 18-10, one of the goofiest scores and box scores you're ever going to see. But this is it. Like, it really doesn't matter what you do the rest of the way, who else you play. If you can't beat the Patriots when Brady has finally left – and they've lost a few games in a row, and Cam Newton's struggling, and Bill Belichick looks like he's actually human and not just a machine that finds a way to punch every button properly, they're going to freak in Buffalo. Freak. If New England comes in there and wins on Sunday, Western New York is going to implode.
Yeah,
they're going to go crazy. And the Bills are only laying 3.5 points. Like, that would suggest Vegas is a little bit nervous.
Well, they're predicting the New England is going to pull their heads out of their rear ends and say, not exactly.
But that's a Belichick effect, I think. They're saying, like, Belichick's not going to allow this nonsense to go on anymore. And you would think, like, Newton's coming off of COVID, which probably may have hit him pretty hard. And they're thinking, okay, he's going to get, to your point, his head out of his rear end. Yeah. And they're going to give Buffalo all they can handle. Like, that
the whole
one,
key
I'm
for me isn't even
one.
Newton. It's like, Newton's probably going to do what he does. It's just Allen. If he could stop throwing those INTs and fumbling and losing control of the football, which has plagued them for the last couple of years, then they win the game. I think it's – and quite easily.
Yeah, Allen, he has to outperform Cam Newton, clearly. And if he does, the rest of the team, Buffalo has more talent. They're at home. I don't think they can match the coaching prowess of Belichick, but McDermott's a good coach. You know, he's not going to be overwhelmed. Right. So, yeah, I think it is going to come down to Josh Allen. And ultimately, it always comes back to that position. When you need a win, it's got to be Josh Allen. He could not punch six on the board against the New York Jets a week ago. That is unacceptable. You can't have
no
that.
No kidding.
Like, yeah. you should be going into New York last week thinking we're gonna hang 45 on this team and I'm gonna be responsible for 4 or 5 touchdowns and it's fantasy week, video game week, and it wasn't. So yeah, it's on Josh Allen. I agree with you on Sunday. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the afternoon. Ray's coming up here in a moment. We spoke about this Mitchell Miller story yesterday, and it's been brought up this week. So he was a 4th round pick out of Arizona. Arizona picked him in the 4th round, and he's an American kid, came up in the U.S. program, I believe. And he has a past that is a dark past. You know, he was bullying and using racial taunts against a classmate 4 years ago. I believe he was in grade 8 at the time, who was disabled. And so, like, you pour the whole details out and you read about it, and some of the things that Miller and another kid were forcing this kid to do, bullying this kid into doing things, they're just, it's really
unspeakable.
It's gross. And yeah, it's really, it's awful. The details are horrendous. And the victim, has been victimized for years, is still dealing with the aftermath, and the victim's family issued a statement saying, you know, Mitchell Miller never even apologized. He still to this point has not apologized.
Which is the most despicable part out of all. I mean, actually, it's not the most.
Outside of the act, but yes.
Outside
of
the
course.
Act, it's the most despicable part about
right.
all of this.
So there's been a big push now over the past 48 hours. Like there's been, the Arizona Coyotes have been circled and people are like, okay, how are you going to handle this now that it's out? Because it's a story that the general public was not aware of it. None of us were aware of it. I never heard of Mitchell Miller before the draft.
Me neither.
And even during the draft, I didn't know who he was or what his story was. And they announced today that they have renounced the rights to Mitchell Miller. So basically cutting him.
Yeah.
And this is a scenario where I'm not surprised based on the reaction. You know, the reaction has been so overwhelmingly vitriolic and, you know, disturbing, and people have just been outraged by the details and by the fact that he hasn't acknowledged his own shortcomings. And
by the way, Brian, that's the only reason Arizona did this is because of this reaction.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to get to. And we'll get into it here with Ray, because I think it was basically a push from the general public saying, get rid of them, get rid of them, get rid of them, and they got rid of them. And it's their right to do so, but I don't know what this really has accomplished. You know, if you waited another week or a month, or if you just never signed him, or if you went to Mitchell Miller and said, you know, we're going to make this right, you're going to make this right. If you want a chance to play for our team or even show up at camp, this is what you're doing. Are you willing to do it? If he says right. no at that point, see you later. There's the curb. You know, you're an idiot if that's the case. But this, I don't know if that's what happened behind the scenes or if it's just Arizona saying too much heat, we're done, cutting bait, gone.
Right.
And I'm not sure if that necessarily helps in situations like this. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro. Ray, what do you make of Arizona's decision to renounce the rights to Mitchell Miller after, you know, the avalanche of details that have come out over the past few days about what he was doing when he was in grade eight, and now they've just cut bait. They're out.
Well, they should have never drafted him to start with. So, like that, I mean, if I'm the general manager or in charge of the draft, given what I knew about, not what's come out since, but what I knew of the story when we first heard of it, that he hadn't apologized. He wrote that letter. He hadn't apologized to Isaiah nor his family. He had written a letter to the teams. To me, it wasn't enough. And so I would have found another kid to draft in that position. So right. The fact that they renounce it, clearly the public outcry influenced them. I don't ever really know how much the owners know about this stuff, like the drafting of the kids before it happens. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a new ownership group. They've pledged that they're, you know, they're going to do things right. They're going to do things differently. They're going to build a diverse organization. Maybe this guy didn't know about it. I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't know that. What we do know is the acts that this kid and his friend at the time did to Isaiah were gross and reprehensible. And in my mind, he didn't deserve the second chance because he hadn't even begun the initial steps to understanding how bad it was. Hell, the judge said that when he handed down the sentencing.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not like it's new. And then for 4 years, he hasn't found the time to go and
apologize.
Understand how gross this was.
Ray, do you think he continues his career, like, even at university? Or, I mean, does this kid ever play a game? And not that it really matters. I could care less what he does. But does his career continue at university? And do you think he ever plays a pro game?
Well, I can't even imagine what team's going to say, yeah, this is a good idea.
No kidding.
But, you know, I'm trying to think, if this was our kid, like, our lives would have gone on hold 4 years ago
mm-hmm.
to in the sense of our son has a problem here. He needs to understand what he's just done. He needs to understand that, you know, his sports are a backseat now. Like, we have to help him. Mm-hmm. So he yeah. understands what he did, how significantly wrong and damaging it is to this other boy. Yet yeah. it didn't seem that that happened. Like, we can kick on hockey culture, and if we want, where the hell were the guy's parents?
Yeah. No kidding.
That's where I said this yesterday, Ray. Like, I've got a problem. Obviously, I mean, that goes without saying. This kid deserves what he has coming to him right now and more. But where's his support system? Where's the people that raised this kid? Where is the people that, you know, got him into university? You know, does university try to give him an opportunity to is rehab the right word? Is to learn, to grow as a person? You know, there's so many layers of failure, not only with the kid, but around him that needs to be cleaned up. Because all I can think about is, and I'm not going to defend him, but is his life over, or does he have to try and be better as a person? Because I know and have seen, and guys, we've all been around people who have made mistakes and done horrible things, and they've gone on and got retribution for him and learned and become better people and been championed for it. Craig McTavish comes to mind, who had, you know, a horrific thing happen. He chose to drink and drive. Something happened. Obviously, you guys know that he went to jail. I mean, Edmonton Oilers gave him another opportunity. We all know Mac T. He's a fantastic person who made a mistake. I'm not suggesting that these are the same, but it just, when you look at this type of stuff, what happens to the kid?
Yeah, the statute of limitations on, you know, the deeds done. And,
right.
you know, the victim here is the boy, is Isaiah. Like, that's
Agreed.
The victim. And he, what he had to endure is sickening. And I've been thinking about him a lot for the past couple of days. I think everyone that's read
for
the
sure.
story, it's just gut-wrenching. And his life, you know, I don't know where he is at or where he's going. And I'm not sure if we're ever going to know. And it's not our right to know. If his parents and family decide to keep people updated, then so be it. But who makes the decision on retribution, you know, is a societal discussion, not just about sports, you know,
right.
the retribution, how long it lasts. Like, there's a scenario going on with the Raptors right now with Terrence Davis. And
right.
a lot of people have just said, cut him, get rid of him, gone. It's like, okay, if we let it breathe, though, a little bit, it's not like he's playing tonight. It's not like Miller was joining camp tomorrow. You know, should you be giving more time? Should the league have been involved here? Should the PA have gotten involved, even though I guess he's not even technically a member? He hasn't signed a contract.
Right.
These are all questions I don't necessarily have answers to, but it's heavy. It's a heavy
Brian,
topic.
Brian, the information that was available, if we stop right at the moment that story first became public, right, which is really, I don't know about you guys,
like 2 days
the first
ago.
Time I'd ever heard of the kid.
Yeah, me too, all of us. Yep.
Yeah,
okay,
agreed.
So if we just take that information at that time, never mind what we've learned since, did it seem to any of you guys like, yeah, that was enough? That you would have said, oh, yeah, he apologized, and yeah, I'm sure he's learned from it. Or would you have dug down 2, 3, 4, 5 layers deeper? Because in today's world, you can't expect it just to go away. Like,
no.
by drafting him, it appeared like the thought was, well, it'll just go away. Where when I looked at it, I thinking as an Arizona management person, that wasn't enough.
No.
Like, never mind what's going to happen from here now forward. We'll find out. That story will come to us in the future. But I don't know how you, if you're Arizona, you could have said, yeah, that's enough, and I'm satisfied he's made the necessary steps. That form letter that he sent out to all 31 teams, that's enough. Like,
yeah.
had I been in the GM's chair or in charge, like, for me personally, it wasn't enough.
Yeah, I don't know what it says about me, but if I had to just known anything about the story, and I don't know what this says about me, but I just would have said this is just a non-starter. We are not drafting this kid whatsoever, and I don't know if other organizations did that. But
I think a lot of organizations did that.
To your point, though, I talked to two organizations yesterday that they knew about it, and he wasn't on their list.
I believe people deserve a second chance, but if this kid doesn't have the decency to even feel remorseful and apologize to everyone involved in the family, then the hell with the kid is my opinion.
And I think you speak for almost everyone in that, and all I would assume all four of us, Ray, Noodles, and myself, I totally agree with that. And the issue that he's run into now is Mitchell Miller. Not that he deserves empathy or sympathy necessarily, is that now if he decides to apologize, now it's well,
so
you're
fake.
Only doing it now because. So he's really put himself in a scenario. And my assumption would be from Arizona is that they got caught up in the talent, which this would not be the first time, and I would guess it will not be the last time. There are red flags surrounding a player, and they just say, watch the tape. Look how good he is. He's going to play. And it happens in every sport. Mm-hmm. Right? Every sport. There's stuff that happens and you're like, man, that, you know, if I take the emotion out of it and take a step back, probably shouldn't go there. Probably shouldn't take that player. But then all of a sudden you look at the game tape and they're like, man, he's good. And morals can get thrown out the window pretty quickly in situations like that. It's been happening forever in pro sports.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, didn't baseball go through in the last couple of years, like a 3 or 4 incidents of domestic disputes or domestic violence? Aroldis Chapman, I think, got suspended for 40 games. And mm-hmm.
Well, the pitcher here in Toronto.
Roberto Osuna.
Right. So they were suspended and then they came back. Like there was a penalty, whether it was right or wrong, there was a penalty to be paid.
Look at Antonio Brown right now.
Yeah, that's what the leagues had determined. And so this kid's penalty is, you know, he's now not drafted. And so while this is slow to the table, it's where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like, I guess I keep coming back to guys, like, when you're doing your work on the players, would you not have asked at some point, hey, did this kid even apologize to anybody? Like, would you not have made 5 phone calls?
Well, I think so, yeah. I think it's only common sense. Like, you come back to those two words, common sense. Like, I'm hoping that if this kid sent out a letter to basically let 31 general managers know that, hey, I've had this incident, I'm sorry for it, all of that, like, you would think that he would have done the steps to, you know, if he's sending it out to managers, I would just, I know you dig into it, but I'm assuming, well, this kid is sorry as hell, and that the first person you go and see is the kid you bullied and the family, and you apologize, or his parents do that. Like, that's what perplexes me through all of this, is like, his parents have to wear, they must be garbage too if they haven't done anything and made this kid show up at the door. Like, I know I'm speaking strongly about it, but I have no respect for the parents that brought this kid into the world and haven't helped him become a better person.
God forbid they're saying, oh, he maybe didn't do it, and they're just defending. Who knows? We live in the world where nobody's kids did anything wrong. So
well,
God,
we all love our kids. We all love our kids, but I'd be horrified.
Protecting them and that, who knows? Again, who knows? We can't speak on behalf of anyone. We didn't know this story existed 3 days ago. But, you know, would it be, again, the first time ever parents tried to protect the kid by saying, hey, just muzzle it and let's move on with life? No, probably wouldn't be. Doesn't mean it was the right decision, and now they're paying for it. But, you know, it's and I don't know if anyone's going to sign him. I don't know enough about him as a player. And maybe his argument would be that I did pay a price because I should have gone in the first round or the second round, and I dropped to the fourth. Right. I don't know. You know, we haven't heard from them.
His argument too, Hayes, you know, 3 years from now could be, I'm 23 years old. This happened when I was 14.
Right.
But that's if he goes through, you know, steps of retribution here. Like, and that should have started years ago.
Still, this is 2021 now coming up. This is not leaving. This isn't the 80s where, like, 2 years would go by and this wouldn't even have been brought up. This is going to be around this guy forever. Mm. End of story.
Yeah, it probably will be.
You're right.
Rick Bonus signing a deal in Dallas, two-year deal. Feels kind of like both sides are like, we'll see how this plays out. You know, lifelong assistant coach. I think he seemed comfortable in that role. When Dallas initially gave him the interim, I'm sure at the time they weren't thinking he would be our coach of the future. It was, okay, we're in a bind and we trust Rick Bonus, put him in there, and he did a great job. Brought him to a cup final.
So two years is fine and fair, and probably Rick doesn't want any more than that.
Exactly.
You know, like 2 years. Like, okay, yeah, that's fine. We'll see. He's 65, right?
Yeah, he is.
You know, so maybe he'll go and, you know, let's say he has two really good years. He might go, you know what, I'm 67. I'm tired. Like that was really fun, but, man, it's, you know, it's time. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he'll feel great. Hell, the White Sox just hired Tony La Russa.
Jeez. How about that? Man, is that is just like that was happening before the Kevin Cash, Blake Snell stuff, but it's almost like it was a snap reaction. Forget it. We're getting the oldest old school guy we could possibly get, and he's going to show up at day one and say, you got to own the inside of the plate and analytics out the window. And
Goose Gossage and La Russa are being hired right now.
I want every starter going 270 innings this year.
And they just made the playoffs for the first time in forever. And it's just unreal.
Here comes Tony La Russa.
I thought when I saw it on Twitter, I thought it was one of those parody sites,
like The Onion or something.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Tony La Russa. I said, like, he's got to be like 80, and then I'm like, 76.
Dusty Baker's no kid anymore either. I think he's 80.
Yeah, but
years
Dusty
old.
Wears wristbands.
Yeah, with his name on.
He's got a new look on life. And Dusty Baker came in for a very different purpose. He was sweeping stuff under the rug and cleaning stuff up because Houston was a mess.
I'm looking. He's 71 years old. Like, that's not that. Like, Lou Lamoriello, I think, is 76 or 7.
70, yeah.
Because, like, Lou, when his deal was up with the Leafs, I think he was 74. And he's been with the island for, what, 2 years now? Like, I think
yeah, a couple of years. And he's had a good run. He was executive of the year last year, this past season.
Do you remember back when Dusty was managing the Giants and his little guy was the bat boy?
Yes.
And he almost got smoked at home plate. There was a play coming, and Dusty's little guy ran out there to get the bat, and I forget who the runner was. As he crossed the plate, he just grabbed him by the back of the shirt like a sack of potatoes. Yeah. Otherwise, the little guy was going to get steamrolled.
It's such a great little video, and it makes your heart stop because you're like, he's going to get clipped, and you're like, he shouldn't be out there, and he should have waited for the play to end, but he's the bat boy. He's going to pick up the bat.
Yeah.
And it was a scenario where everyone else is like, wow, wasn't that amazing? And Dusty Baker's like, no, I didn't find it funny. Like, he shouldn't be out there. You know, he's probably like, you know, Dusty in the past was like, I don't even think he should be here. This isn't good. This is going to be a problem. He's too young. And if it was your kid, too, you'd be like, uh-oh, where's he going? Like, what's he doing? It was a World Series, too, wasn't it, right?
Yeah.
Or it was the playoffs anyway.
It was certainly the playoffs. It was, But I think you're right, Brian. I think it was the series.
Yep.
Wow.
And I remember seeing the postgame, and Dusty was not – he didn't find it funny. It's like, it's not funny. Like, that
could
have been a real
problem. Dusty
popping
out kids at 63. I love it.
I was just thinking the reverse math on that. I'm like, what's Dusty up to? I like it.
Well, Lou Lamoriello is 78, gentlemen. Wow. 78 and still going strong.
He's still got to sign Matt Barzal. When's that going to happen?
I don't know. But Devon Toews is a really good defenseman, and he had to move him to clear some room for him. So
he's still they're still looking to move money, like the Islanders are, and so, you know, Lou's trying to find a way to get somebody to take some of his cash, but in the meantime they don't want to trade all of their draft picks to get rid of it, and so but they're stuck a bit because, you know, you've got Barzal that needs lots. And they don't have any room. You've also got Matt Martin running around in a green dinosaur costume. I don't know if you saw that either.
No, what was that all about?
Oh, for Halloween.
Oh, good.
He was over at one of his teammates' house, I think Bailey's house, and he's dressed in a green costume, and his wife took a video of him like he's lurking around in the trees.
Always mature. That's outstanding. Well, we'll see what comes at us between now and tomorrow. and you're going to be off for a bit. We're going to have to get your Masters pick tomorrow, I think. Masters week in 2 weeks.
Isn't it weird, the Masters now?
I know. It's going to be like -7 here tonight and snowing, I think.
Oh,
and
no.
The Masters is
Ace,
right around the corner.
We're still alive, buddy. We got one more tee time, or unless you're playing
oh,
with your new buddies.
How did the day go today, Hayes?
Oh, Tux and I had a great time.
Oh, but, Tux now.
Yeah, Tux is my buddy.
Yeah, Tuxie.
Hazy B and Tux, hashtag.
Oh, my God.
Just a couple of sandbaggers. We took this twosome for some serious cash, and we played well, and both shot 82, and we're dialed. It was great. We had a great time. You know
see,
me.
Now,
I'm a very gregarious guy. I can get along with anyone, and I'm always in the right frame of mind and mood.
Now you're the money player, too. They're going to have you back.
Oh, yeah. I'll be lurking in the trees waiting for my invitation back. Yeah. And
is that invitation coming for him? Oh, is it soon or no?
I don't know. I just thought for sure I was getting a text from Darcy Tucker about an hour into it saying, this guy hasn't said a word. He's so awkward. He's uncomfortable. He does what he wants to go home. I honestly thought that was coming.
I want to go home, as if I'm not aware that it's 18 holes.
Yeah, like third green, just cart goes backwards towards the clubhouse, cart clubs in the car, he's just gone. He's gone.
It's fun, boys. I had an emergency pop up. I've got to run. Got to take off. No, yeah, we had a great day, and I'm going to probably play at least once more, right? Oh, you and I, we're getting back out next week, and that'll be it.
Yeah, Grappler, too. Grappler's in, too.
Okay, it's all good. We're all feeling it, and it's going to be a fun time. So
get it in right to the end, and we'll have to do some Masters work tomorrow.
We look forward to it. Do your homework, buddy. We'll catch you tomorrow at 5.
Got it. Later.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days continue with rates from 0% and free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle purchase in the month of October. MapleToyota.com. Brian Windhorst on when we can expect the NBA to start back up. Luka Doncic being a heavy favorite for the MVP next season. And what does he see the Raptors doing in free agency? That and more coming up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Gary Roberts will join us in just over half an hour. Haven't caught up with Gary in a while. We're looking forward to that. He's got a new gig out in Seattle. So we'll see what his story is these days. And
MRI reader for the Kraken.
That's right, as he should be. He's well-versed in that area, and we established that a couple of months ago, if not longer. And Al's brother will make his return, his triumphant return. We haven't caught up with Al's brother in a while.
Long time.
Yeah, he's coming up in about an hour.
It's been a while.
Courtesy of the Thursday night or tonight, he'll give us his pick. But the NBA, we're not sure when they're going to play again. Originally, we thought December 22nd, and now I think the players sounds like they're pushing for January 18th, and the union is saying it's based on the logistics, and they're not going to be able to get everything together. Cross the T's and dot the I's to play by the middle of December. And to chat about that, amongst some other things, we're joined now by ESPN's NBA analyst and insider, Brian Windhorst. How do you perceive this kind of ongoing public battle between the owners and the union based on when they want to start to play, and when do you think we will see basketball again?
Well, it's a negotiation, and that's what's happening right now. And it's an unpleasant negotiation because of all the things here, you know, there's money, which is always challenging, especially in this exact moment. And then there's the worry about the virus itself. There's the health and safety of the players. But, you know, they actually do have a lot of time here. I know that it's going to be crunched to actually execute it, but they don't have to really have an agreement until November 17th. The draft is on the 18th. And that's not ideal because they're going to have free agency probably come right after that. But I suspect they will come to an agreement. They've been coming to agreements now for a few years, the leadership of the owners and the leadership of the players. And, you know, I think it's pretty simple for the players. And that is, there's a pot of money that's available if they start in January. And there's a larger pot of money if they start in December. And considering that everybody's going to make less money this year than they previously were expecting to, my expectation is that they will play, you know, on or about December 22nd. But I'm not saying it won't get a little messy between now and that getting resolved.
Brian, you speak of the players, and then there's players like LeBron. Yesterday we were discussing the power of LeBron and in his decision-making. What if he says, this doesn't really work for us or me? Can you just, you would know better than anybody, what is the power of LeBron and his thoughts on coming back to play?
Well, I understand he's very influential, but he is only one voice. And you have to remember that There's eight teams that haven't played since March, and three quarters of the teams haven't played since September 1st. And while he definitely would face an undue burden, you know, he represents an extraordinary minority. And, you know, his pay being cut by a few extra percentage points is a lot of money, but it matters maybe less to him than the rank and file. And so he'll be outvoted, and, you know, I suppose LeBron could force an issue and there could be a game and he wouldn't play in it. I would doubt he would go against it that way, but it could come down to that. I don't expect it. That's not the track record of LeBron, the union, and the league, but he certainly has a right now to posture in that position.
We're chatting with Brian Windhorst from ESPN. The NBA and the NHL kind of mirror each other in terms of an 82-game schedule. They play around the same time of year. The NBA is more lucrative. They make more money, more revenue. But what we've learned in the NHL through their free agency is that teams have really decided to clamp down on the amount of spending, the amount of years they're willing to give out. Now, this is not a great crop of players who are available this coming offseason. But do you have a read on how this is going to play out, Brian? Could you see teams deciding, you know, to really scale back in terms of offers, in terms of term, just based on COVID and how the economics of the sport are completely out of whack?
I don't. I think because it's going to be a bit of a strange smoke and mirror thing. The salary cap is almost certainly going to remain at the exact same level, but it's really not, because the way they're going to balance the book is that every player is going to take a cut out of his paycheck. The percentage is under negotiation, but it's probably going to be 30% or more. So, you know, if you sign a guy for a $10 million contract, you're really signing him maybe for $7 million. And, you know, the idea is that the second year of that contract, which would be in the 2021-22 season, would come, knock on wood, after we're past the pandemic, and it would be back to $10 million. And so it's sort of a bit of a manipulation to try to, you know, limit the damage to this one year. And I think there will be a lot of transactions, not only in signings, but in trades. Because remember, we haven't seen a transaction in the NBA since February. The teams and the rosters have been frozen. So there's a bit of a bulge of teams looking to make moves. I do expect there to be a significant amount of one-year contracts. But that is definitely related to the pandemic and related to teams maybe not trying to spend. But it's also because next year's free agent class is considerably deeper. And as of right now, at least, a bunch more teams will have flexibility to spend. Even if we were in normal times, as crazy as that is to say, 2020 free agency was going to be a little bit thin, and with 2021 being more robust, and we were going to see guys maybe want to re-enter the market. There are negotiations going on right now. Teams and agents are starting to swap figures, even though they're not supposed to. It is definitely happening. And for the most part, I think there's not a feeling that there's not going to be any spending. I think there's going to be guys getting decent contracts.
We're Brian Windhorst from ESPN. So Daryl Morey is, I believe, on the verge of taking over the operation in Philly. And he had a long-standing run in Houston, a very successful one, but never got over the top. And, you know, would take gambles and obviously went out and got Harden, went out and got Russell Westbrook, got Chris Paul, and then shipped him out. What is the reputation of Morey league-wide, though, for a guy who gets a lot of publicity and not all of it positive, but he's never won a ring? So what is Philly walking into here?
Well, you know, I know that Daryl gets a lot of attention because he was one of the first guys to really bring analytics to the game. And I think he gets a lot of attention because he's very public, especially on Twitter. No kidding. Mm-hmm. He gets a lot of attention because he has his annual convention in Boston where a lot of the league goes. He gets attention because he's done some contracts that have been very unique. He's sort of twisted the rules into pretzels numerous times. But when you look at the reality, when you take a step back and look at what Daryl Morey has done, he has done a very conventional thing, which is get star players, superstar players, relentless approach for star players. And he also, you know, I guess the term would be arbitrage. He's not afraid to make six transactions, you know, to move the ball towards a star player 15 yards downfield, if you will, to put things together. He also signed Dwight Howard. And so he's coming to a team that has two star players. Now, those two star players don't particularly fit well together and haven't shown a perfect marriage just yet. But that's what he does. He covets getting those superstar players. So because I think there's a lot of people making assumptions like, oh, well, he's going to trade this guy off, he's going to trade that guy off. I mean, I guess it's possible that the roster is a little bit mismatched, but he's not doing anything if it means losing a superstar. He is about getting superstars, and that is what he will bring to Philadelphia. And he's also been very good over the years, whether it was Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady that he had, or Dwight Howard and James Harden, or Chris Paul and James Harden. He's done a good job generally of finding undervalued players to fit around them. They've had a lot of good teams. They've had a few great teams. They don't have a championship team, and that'll be his job in Philadelphia. And it'll be hard because there's some challenges there, but it would not surprise me at all if he has another very successful run there.
Luka Doncic has only been in the league for a couple of years, but he's already established himself as a superstar. And there are some odds coming out of Vegas already projecting for the 2021 season. And Doncic is currently the MVP favorite. And I can't really argue that. When you look at the way he played, when he played the way he did in the bubble into the playoffs, I think that makes sense. Would you agree with that, Brian, or is there another player projecting the next season that you would have ahead of Luka when it comes to MVP?
Well, look, I mean, like anybody who's watched the game at all, how could you not be blown away, impressed by this guy at this age? There's a very good chance he's going to win an MVP award or two or three in his career. So, you know, if you're asking me whether or not it's a good bet, I think it's a fair bet. The challenge is that typically, and I know that this causes frustration at times, is that typically the MVP, if he doesn't come from the best team, it's one of the two or three best teams. And Dallas was the seventh seed last year. And I think the Western Conference is going to be incredibly intense and incredibly competitive this year, as I believe the East is. You know, when you look at the Eastern Conference and you think about Brooklyn, coming back as a contender with Kyrie and Kevin Durant being healthy, you start to look there, it's going to be very competitive. So I would say Luka definitely has it, but to win it these days, the voters like to see you at the very, very top of the standings, which probably means, you know, in the neighborhood of 60 wins. I don't know if that's a 58 to 60 win team there. And I guess it'll be less than that because we're going to play 72 games. But I don't know if that team is going to be good enough, but it'll certainly be interesting to watch them try.
Great stuff as always. Thank you for doing this, Brian.
Take care and have a good day.
You too, Brian Windhorst from ESPN.
Isn't Dallas got to be a team? They talk about Morey looking for superstars. Don't you want to take advantage of Doncic in his, like, the next three to 4 years?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Go and get him a supporting cast that you can get it done with that guy, like now.
Well, I think the hope is Porzingis could
stays healthy.
Yeah, stays healthy and could be like a really quality number two. But I think it's a gamble because he's had so many injury problems. And he hasn't proven that he can be
even
that
healthy
guy.
He hasn't really been that guy.
No, he hasn't been like a legitimate stud. He's had very good numbers and his rookie season in New York, he had great year. Like, he had good years in New York, and he's put up good numbers when he was healthy in the playoffs. He played well with Doncic. But absolutely, you find Luka Doncic a number two or surround him. Like, he might be so good you could pull a Kawhi Raptor situation. But that means you've got to find Lowry, Serge, Van Vliet, Siakam. Like, those are obviously, it was a great team here with the Raps, championship caliber. But he might be that good. Like, he might be so good that it's like, just get me really quality supporting staff,
and he can
carry
do
this.
The rest. Yeah,
yeah. And Kevin Durant he's got a podcast out, and he was talking about people discrediting his rings.
Dude, he of all people, by the way, should not have a podcast. Like, come on.
Yeah, you got burner accounts.
I know.
You got burner accounts.
Now, and he's talking about people talking about him the wrong way. It's just like, stay away from the. If I'm his agent, I would say, do a podcast when you're retired. Like me and Noodles.
Yeah, it's like he's bored, though. Like, it's like, you know, the guy.
He can't stop himself.
He hasn't played in a year and a half.
Yeah.
If I was Nash, if I was the team, if I'm the agent, I'd say, please light your podcast on fire. But I think that's another element of these modern-day athletes, Brian. Like, Danny Green has got a podcast going. Yep. These guys want the podcast cooking while they're playing.
It's a, yeah. it's absolutely a new age thing. I mean,
yeah.
it's going to pop up in other sports. You can bank on. I'm sure it already has in some of them. But these are like big-time players. Kevin Durant is like an all-time great player, and he's got a podcast when he's about to start a new venture with a new team.
But it's such an odd, it's such an odd thing because you would think maybe with a couple years to go in your career, you might think to yourself, I mean, these guys make so much money, they wouldn't need that post-career. But you would think, okay, maybe I'll get this cooking. And if it works, I got something to fall back on once my career ends. But this Kevin Durant doesn't need podcast money.
Never worked again in his life.
But,
Who would you want to hear from a podcast, like current players in the NHL?
Well,
like Connor McDavid's would be so...
It'd be funny, actually. It'd be like dry humor.
I think it'd be awesome.
The answer is Kessel in Arizona when they're tanking and he's still on the team.
While golfing.
If Phil gave the full candid podcast once a week for an hour, and all he does is break down what he's been doing. He's like, I teed it up on Monday.
Yeah.
You know, just continues to, this is what I was feeding
There's nothing about hockey.
Oh, I couldn't care less about what he has to say about hockey.
I'm telling you, he's going to be coming up with a doozy this year with a brutal team.
Phil? His short game is going to be on point, though. He's going to be on that range. He'll be playing round after round after round.
Oh, apparently he's just a stick, too.
Yeah, or he can play. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like he's a scratch is my understanding. Like he is money.
Yeah, well, listen, he's in the right scenario for that. It's just, you're right with the Durant thing. Like, he doesn't need the money, but I feel like he wants the attention. Like, I mean, LeBron's like that. LeBron, like, he has to be in the middle of everything.
LeBron's got a show on HBO. He's got the Barbershop or whatever it's called. I don't know, The Undefeated, or I don't remember what it's called.
I sat and watched that one night. It's actually pretty cool. He has some cool guests. It's a cool vibe, and they sit and...
He had Obama on recently. Like
drink
Obama
wine
was on the last
and chill
one.
Out. Yeah, he'll have some heavy hitters on that.
Well, that's LeBron, right? Like, and that's kind of a guest driven. It's not LeBron necessarily. Like a podcast is just you speaking your mind.
Yeah,
you know. And I'm sure Kevin Durant has different people join him. I'm sure he's got teammates and different guys around the league. But LeBron, like, if you're getting Obama on your show, you've got pull, right?
Yeah.
Like it's a different level of TV shows.
Yeah, it's not Al's brother.
No, exactly. Al's brother, I don't think, has a request out for the president to come on or former president to come on the show.
Exactly.
Gary Roberts in about 20 minutes. We'll get back into the NFL situation as well. Ike Reese will join us at 6:25, longtime NFLer doing radio down in Philly. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Gary Roberts will join us in about 15 minutes. Get into some NFL talk as well into the next hour. The Chiefs are at home against the New York Jets. And last time I checked, the spread was 19.5. And I don't think that's enough. I really don't. I mean, I was trying to think about it earlier. What would the spread have to be for me to comfortably bet on the Jets and, like, put something significant on the line? You know, like a
35?
I think it would be I think it would be 29.5 anyway. You'd have to spot me 29 points. I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs beat them 48-7 or something like that.
No.
Not even
although
close.
They kind of look like they were getting their you know what together, but what does that say for Gase when they start making a couple plays and somewhat looking like a football team if his control is taken away on offense? Mhm. Like, what does that say about his control, period?
That he doesn't have any and he doesn't know what he's doing, clearly.
No kidding. I'm telling you, sometimes you just look and you can get a tell, Brian. When you look at him doing an interview, I don't think he knows what he's doing. I really don't. He just, his answers, his body language, sometimes it is what it is. And when I look at that man, I think that guy should not be running a sports team.
Well, his introductory press conference in New York was
a sideshow. He was staring at bugs.
His eyes were going in directions that have never been seen before. Like, he should be studied in a lab somewhere in, like, Switzerland to get a read on what that dude was doing and what he was thinking and what was going through his mind.
Yeah.
Because he was – I mean, that's not a tough press conference. right? Like, you're just getting hired. Yeah, some questions.
You just blow smoke and you say, I'm going to demand the most. We're going to play with excellence. And I'll tell you what. You know that those comments from Trevor Lawrence were reflective of what's going on there in the nonsense with Gase. So if I'm ownership, I'm looking at that saying, we got a situation on our hands. And I don't know if you got to call Lawrence's representative in college. I don't know if he even has one. But you need to figure out what you're doing if you keep losing like this.
Oh, yeah. I think Gase is done anyway. But if they catch a sniff that Lawrence won't come there because of him, he is gone the second that phone gets hung up with the agent.
Yeah.
And what will be interesting is to see what happens with Sam Darnold. You know, like if Lawrence is coming in, Darnold's going to get flipped. But what's the price? He went third overall a few years ago. Mm. You're not going to get a first-round pick for him, I don't think. But maybe teams look at him and believe there's more there. It was the Jets and Gase. That was the issue with Sam Darnold. And I think Antonio Brown is expected to play this week too. So
there's
lots a couple of
parts. Yeah,
yeah,
lots
a couple of big storylines.
So there is zero chance that the Jets can win.
It's not zero chance because it's football and it's any given Sunday. It can't be 0% chance. No, but this has got to be considered the most lopsided Week 8 game in a long, long time. Like, the Jets are 0-7. They haven't even covered the number, I don't believe.
Yeah.
I think I read that last night. They have not covered. I guess they covered last week against Buffalo. There was a team I read, Schefter tweeted this out, Dallas. The Cowboys are 0-7 against the spread this season.
Wow.
Yeah. So
they're a mess,
Jets,
too.
They are a mess. Yeah. We'll get into that more in the next hour as well. Gary Roberts coming up in about 10 minutes. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.